B'siyata d'shmaya, today's daf is Mem Dalet in Maseches Shabbos. It is the 106th daf in Shas. We left off, at least in Tavshin Pei, from Rabbi Yamin Shir on daf Mem Dalet Amar Alf, three lines on top. I don't know where we were in Tavshin Ayin Gimel exactly, but either way, we'll pick up where we left off. Now, Eini Usin Mi Mehemen Lefisha Eina Min Amuchan. So the Mishnah had told us on Membeis Amibeis that one is not allowed to have hana from oil because it's considered the leftover oil because it's not considered prepared. So the Gemara just elaborates with the Braisa and gives us two different opinions. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa Hashem Shebenevi Shebeka'ara Aser. If you have leftover oil that is in the candle, that is in the lamp is a better word than candle. The lamp is the ner v'sheba ka'aro, or a larger basin that holds the candle, asur. Rabbi Shimon matur, Rabbi Shimon holds its mutter. This is actually a very, very good place for us to spend the minute and just spell out what exactly is the machlokas, or maybe exactly is too strong a word, but just elucidate what the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is. This is a good example. The halacha is that when it comes to muktzah, we say that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muktzah and Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a muktzah. Rabbi Yamin yesterday alluded to that there are cases that Rabbi Shimon does hold a muktzah. We'll have a reference to that today as well. But the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, and muktzah is probably best explained in the following way. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to say it this way, Rabbi Soloveitchik said it this way, that Rabbi Yehuda says, in order for something to be mutter on Shabbos, you have to do an active hachana. If you didn't do an active hachana before Shabbos, then it's going to be usher. While Rabbi Shimon says, no, only those things that you are maktzah, that you designated, are those things that are muktzah. By the way, a Talmud Chacham once pointed out to me that the word muktzah is actually a noun, an original Hebrew was a noun. It's a noun as a person, place, or thing. Muktzah was a certain place where you used to put foods that weren't ready to be eaten. It was called a maktzah. So muktzah, according to Rabbi Shimon, means those things that you pushed away, that were put into that place called the maktzah. And Rabbi Shimon holds, anything that's not put in that place is not going to be considered muktzah. Something that you put in that place, even Rabbi Shimon agrees, is going to be muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda holds, you have to actively prepare. So too over here, the oil you anticipated was going to be used for the candle. It turns out that the oil wasn't. So in such a case, is that mutter or aser? So Tanakama, presumably consistent with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, holds that the halacha is aser because you didn't actively prepare for Shabbos. Where Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold, you need to actively prepare for Shabbos. That issue of actively preparing for Shabbos is going to catapult us into the closest makor that we have for muktzah d'oraisa, and that is the pasuk, the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Mem Vav has two opinions whether muktzah is d'oraisa or not. But that's this idea, to prepare for Shabbos. And machshava, the idea is that Shabbos is supposed to be entirely for ruchnias. Only those gashmias things that you prepare, that are prepared beforehand, are to be used. We don't paskin muktzah is d'oraisa. We don't use that makar as the actual makar. But there are echoes of that, even if you hold muktzah is d'rabbanan. Let's continue with the Mishnah. Metaltlin ner chadash aval lo yashan. The Mishnah says that the halach is that you're allowed to move a new lamp. Rashi explains that the lamps that were old got very, very grimy. Particularly, we're going to see those of cheres. Those are cheres got particularly disgusting. Nowadays, we've been spoiled by stainless steel and so on. But once upon a time, things used to get really, really grimy. So the Mishnah says that chadash is going to be mutar v'lo yashan. Rabbi Shimon, I'mer kol haneres metaltlin. Rabbi Shimon says you can metaltle all candles. Chutz min haner hadolek b'shabbos. Hadolek b'shabbos. Except for the candles that are lit on Shabbos. You can metaltle all, except for a candle that's lit on Shabbos. What exactly is that machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama? So it's not really clear what exactly is the problem of Ner Hadolik B'Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to actually begin to go through a complicated process of quoting four different Shitos Tanoim, and we're going to begin to analyze what those different shitas are. To suffice to say that the simple reading of Rabbi Shimon is that Rabbi Shimon is choshesh for muktzah machmas iser, that when the ner is dolek b'shabbos, then you're not allowed to touch it because we're afraid you're going to put it out. That's called muktzah machmas iser. So that could be one way of reading our Mishnah. So let's take a look and see how the Gemara, though, presents all the different shitas in regards to ner. There are four different shitas tanoim over here. Tanu Rabbanan, metaltlin ner chadash aval lo yashan. So that was the shita that we had of the Tanakama that the Gemara here reveals is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, div Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda bepashtus is saying that there's a problem, muksa machmas mius, and you can't be metaltl. Rabbi Meir omer. Rabbi Meir here is a new figure in the sense that we've always thought of Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So now we bring in Rabbi Meir Shita. Kol aneres metaltlin. You can be metaltl all neres. Chutz min aner shedliku bo b'shabbos. You could move every ner except for one that was lit on Shabbos. Okay. Now that sounds to be very much like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. However, over here it says shehedliko b'shabbos, that it had been lit on Shabbos. So Rashi points out in Dibra Maschel Chutzman Haner Shadliko, Va'af Al Gav Shekava. Rabbi Meir has an interesting shita, number two, and he's saying the candle is usher when it is lit, but it's also going to be usher when it's extinguished. So Rashi says, Va'af Al Gav Shekava, usher. The Isla Rabbi Meir Muktza Machmas Isser, he holds Muktza Machmas Isser, V'lesle Muktza Machmas Mius. Now, so what is this Muktza Machmas Isser? When it came to Bein Hashmashos, so then the ner was also to be metaltel because we're afraid that you're going to put it out. The iser causes us not to allow you to carry it. That iser is going to continue even after the lamp has gone out. The candle and the lamp has gone out. Why? The flame has gone out. Why? Because of migud iskatzai ben ashmashos iskatzai the kuleyama. So that's going to be the shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Eimer, the third shita is Rabbi Shimon. Chutz min aner hadolek b'shabbos. Rabbi Shimon only prohibits the ner that it is lit, that's lit on Shabbos. But kavsa, once it goes out, mutter. So in that way, it's different than Rabbi Meir, who said that if it was lit on Bein HaShemash, it's going to be usher the whole Shabbos. Kavsa, mutter tato. Aval kais ukarav ashashis lo yazizim imikomo. But when it comes to the candles that are in larger vats of oil, or larger receptacles of oil, so then in such a case, those you can't move. That we're only going to see towards the bottom of the end of the Amud, why Rabbi Shimon says those you can't move. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir? The Nekudas HaMachlokes is as follows. There are two reasons to say you can't be metaltel a lamp that is lit. One reason to be metaltel is to say that, well, Bein HaShemashos it was muktza because you couldn't be metaltel because it's muktza machmas iser, so therefore it's going to be aser the entire Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Shimon doesn't require that same level of preparation before Shabbos. We mentioned that Rabbi Shimon says as long as it wasn't in the Maktzeh, so then in such case it's not going to be Muktzeh. So therefore, that which is Aser in Bein HaShemashos isn't necessarily Aser the entire Shabbos according to Rabbi Shimon. When will a lamp be Aser? It'll only be Aser at the time it's actually lit, because there where Choshesh you're going to put it out, not B'toras Muktzah, but B'toras Lachshash of Shema Yichveh. So that's Shita number three. Shita number four is Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Mistapek Min HaNer HaKava, you're allowed to take oil out from an extinguished lamp, U'min HaShem Min HaMetaftev, Vafilu B'Shosh HaNer Dolek, even if the lamp is still lit, the halacha is, it's not going to be considered mechuba. We don't consider it as extinguished. The Gemara is immediately going to ask why that's so. But Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon is saying, no problem to take out the oil. Well, we'll see how that falls into the broader category, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon in Muksa shortly. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon, Savar La Ka'avua Bechada, Upalagala Bechada. He, Rabbi Eliezer, is the son of Rabbi Shimon, the famous Rabbi Shimon, who quote unquote doesn't hold of Muktzah, and we explained what that meant earlier. That doesn't mean he mamish doesn't hold of Muktzah. Upalagala Bechada. Savar lakavu bechada de lesle muktzah upalagala bechada de ilu avua savar kava in lo kava lo. His father holds that when it's extinguished, so then it's going to be mutter. If it's not extinguished, it's going to be aser. V'iyu sava afagav delo kava, and he holds even if it's not extinguished. In other words, he's even more makel than his father. His father is worried about you being metaltal and putting it out. He is not worried about you taking out the shemen. Question, of course, is why? Why in the world is he not worried about you taking out the shemen? So here I saw quoted that the Maharam suggests that we're talking about a candle that has already begun to extinguish, and there's only a little bit of a tiny flame that's still going, and taking a little out would not be considered mechaber at all. Or the Tosas HaRosh suggests that we're talking about a particular contraption that Rabbi Aryeh spoke about in previous sugyas, where the oil isn't directly connected to the wick, and therefore it's not mamish mechaber. Either way, really, in the picture of muktzah, which is the subject of today's daf, the muktzah of the candle, really, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon is basically in the exact same place as his father. Just his father had a chashash of mechabe in a case of where he didn't, and we have two different ukimtas, exactly what that case is. But at the end of the day, there's really not much of a difference in regards to muktzah. Going back, though, to the end of Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, so Gemara says, "Avol kosu karav ashashis lo zizim imikamo." If Rabbi Elazar, if we learned that according to Rabbi Shimon, that the halacha is that once it's gone out, that it's going to be mutter, that there's no muktzah, so then what's the reason that when it comes to kos karav ashashios, we're going to be machmir? Maishna hani, asks the Gemara. In other words, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of the muktzah that you need to positively prepare it, then there should be no difference between whether the candle was small or the candle was large. So Gemara says, Amar Ula Seifas on the Rabbi Yehuda. You're right, you got to restructure it, and that Aval Kaisakara is going all the way back. It's going back to Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that it's a problem. Maskef lo marzutri, yachim my Aval. Then what does it say, Aval? Elam marzutra elam Rabbi Shimon. No, really it is Rabbi Shimon. V'chi kashari Rabbi Shimon, even though Rabbi Shimon doesn't quote-unquote hold of muksa, however, biner zutra didaiti lave. Avahani denefishi lo. Rabbi Shimon is going to say that a small candle, so then he has, on some level, he has some type of positive das. Even though you don't need to actively prepare, like Rabbi Yehuda said, but at the same time, he needs to know that there's some type of possibility. But those lamps that are so large, it never dawned on him that he was going to take it. And the svara would be that those large lamps are considered as if they're in the makza. They're considered as if they're with the grogros and simukim because there's so much there. By the way, the Aruch HaShulchan is the one who says the pshat that we had said, that of course Rabbi Shimon holds a muktzah, Rabbi Shimon doesn't need positive preparation. This line in the Gemara is a little bit of a question on the Aruch HaShulchan, because this Gemara says that you need some type of das ilave. So according to Aruch HaShulchan, you have to finagle it the way I mentioned above. The Gemara continues, five lines before the wide, Amim Dalin Amim Aleph, Va'atanya, but didn't we learn in a Braisa, HaMaiser Shemen Shebenever Shebeka'ara Aser, the leftover oil in the lamp is going to be aser. Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, even though there is a ka'ara and there's a large amount of stuff inside. Says the Gemara, hasam ka'ara dum yediner. Hacha ka'ara dum yedikos. No, there are two different types of ka'aras. There's some ka'aras that are a little bit large, some ka'aras that are a little bit smaller. The ones that are smaller is going to be daita ilave. The ones that are larger is not going to be daita ilave. Beautiful. Always, you could always leave it to Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira was a real interesting Amora, very fascinating, colorful Amora. So you could always leave it to Rabbi Zeira to bring up, to throw a monkey wrench into the sugya or into the hak amongst the Amoraim. So here, Rabbi Zeira doesn't disappoint, and Rabbi Zeira says something that is a little bit surprising. Amar Zeira, pamot shehidlik bo b'Shabbos. Pamot, Rashi says, it's a menorah shel mateches ve'ena me'usas. That's what we mentioned before, that when we said that it's muktzah machmas mos, that's going to be a case of a kli that is of cheres, where the oil makes it mos. However, a pamot, which by the way, modern Hebrew today is still the way we describe a candelabra. So shedliko b'Shabbos l'divrei hamatir asur. For those who say that it's mutter, it's going to be asur. L'divrei asur mutter. So that Rabbi Zera says, I want to make things interesting. I'm going to throw everything on its head. The machmirim are going to be mekel on the pamot, and the mekilim are going to be machmir. So says Gemara, okay, let's try to figure out what Rabbi Zera is going to say, what Rabbi Zera is saying. Says Gemara in the first wide line, lim heimra de Rabbi Yehuda muktzamachmas mias islay muktzamachmas isur leslay. Ah, so maybe what Rabbi Zera was driving at was the following: that Rabbi Yehuda holds of muktzamachmas mius. In other words, that's why the clay one is going to be muksa. But if it's in steel, if it's in metal, so then in such a case, the only chash is muksa machmas isser, and he doesn't hold in that. But Rabbi Zera, that doesn't work. Vatanya, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm recalling Nerish HaMatechus Metatlin, Chutz Me'an Nerish HaDlikobo B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you lit with it on Shabbos, it's going to be usser. Ella Yitmar Hachi Yitmar, Amar Rabbi Zera, Pamot Shedlikobo B'Shabbos, Divrei HaKol usser. It must have been that even though Rabbi Zera has some exciting thing to say, but in this case, it must have been this, so far, Rabbi Zera wouldn't make sense. You have to say that Rabbi Zera said something different, and that is that everybody holds that Pamot is going to be Aser if it was lit. Why? You're afraid that it's going to get put out. But lo edlika lov divrei kol mutter. But if it wasn't lit, then everybody is going to hold that it's going to be mutter. So this is the shita, even of Rabbi Yehuda, that if it wasn't lit before Shabbos, it's going to be mutter. Okay, b'siyata d'shmaya, that is the sugya of ner. We now get into the sugya of mita shiichta l'maos, which is a fascinating sugya, even up until halacha l'maisa. The Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Marav, two lines from the bottom, imdalin amin alf, mita shiichta l'maos. If you have a bed that was designated for money, so what's going on? A bed that was designated for money? What's going on? So if you look in the Rishonim spell out that once upon a time, there was no such thing as banks. And where did people store their money? So they used to store their money into the mattress. Now, that's not a very smart place to store your money if that's where everybody stores their money. So you know what they did? Something absolutely fascinating. They had many, many mattresses in their homes. And there was the mattress that had the money, and then the others were decoys. So it would take a lot longer for a robber to actually find the money. That's what comes out if you read the Rishonim and Achronim. So that's what we're talking about. Mita shiichta lemos. So then if it was designated, then it's going to be Aser. Now Rashi here connects us to the sugya of Hazmana, and Rashi writes, even if they didn't even put money inside, but it was already designated that this was going to be the one, don't tell anybody which one it is, but you and your wife know, so then in such a case, that mita is already Aser l'taltala, the mita is going to be Aser to be metaltal. So Meisvei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, metaltal ner chodosh avolo yashan. So we learned that you're allowed to be metaltan ner chadash. That's what we saw in the beginning of our Mishnah, but not a yashan. So asks the Gemara, umar ner, going on to Amid Beis, to lahachi avida, that when it comes to a ner, that it was made this way. Ki hidlo hidlik ba shar l'til tula. In other words, the bed was, you bought all the mattresses in, I forgot the name of the store. But you bought the mattress in the mattress store. And then only later do you decide which one is going to be yichta lemos. And there the halacha is you're saying that's going to be muksa, but a ner, all the neros, all the lamps were made for candles, and yet the halacha is that if you didn't light, it's going to be mutter. Mita de lav lachi avida lo kol shekein. When it comes to a bed that wasn't made for this, certainly, if you didn't now put the money inside, in such a case, the halacha would be that it should be mutter. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to answer the question. Before we see the Gemara's answer to the question, I just want to show you that Tosis points out that there's an interesting question, and this will have ramifications in the Maskana as well as in Halacha Lemaisa. Tosis Dibra Maskal Mita Shiyichta Lemos points out that you could read the Halacha Mita Shiyichta Lemos both according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Shimon. Tosis three lines from the bottom. And Tosis says that if it was a Mita Shiyichta Lemos, so then the halacha would be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be asur. Even, Tosis says, l'tzarech gufo, l'tzarech mekomo, because we learned that chatzotzros are asur according to Rabbi Yehuda, because chatzotzros have no purpose on Shabbos, so too, mita shiichta lemos. Leave aside the kasha from there. But fundamentally, just like chatzotzros are entirely asur, that we learned in Daf Lamed Vav, so too, Tosis says, that would be also according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, on Daf Lamed Vav, we learned that's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So Tosis continues, and according to Rabbi Shimon, the halacha would be that over here would be aser even letzarach gufo letzarach mekomo, because it's considered muktza machmas chisaron kis, because you already designated it for something that has no purpose on Shabbos itself. You designated not for sleeping, it was designated for ma'os. Now, the Achronim point out that from this Tosos, you see, we have a Pesach to the idea that if you have an object that isn't necessarily called Chisaron Kis, but has no purpose on Shabbos, like, for example, this Mita was already Yichda Lamos, so therefore, you don't sleep on it. Everybody in the family knows that they're not sleeping on it. So then in such a case, if it has no purpose, then that's called Muktza Machmas Chisaron Kis. In other words, Rabbi Shimon agrees that there's something that you can't move, letzarech gufo, letzarech mekomo, because it already is designated as having no purpose on Shabbos. This is how Rav Soloveitchik understood it. This is how Rav Shlomo Zalman as well understood. That muktza machmas chisaron kis is a super din of muktza machmas gufo. Dahainu, muktza machmas gufo is generally a din when you have some that's not a kli, it's muktza machmas gufo. But what happens if you have a kli that has been already designated as not having any purpose on Shabbos? So then in such a case, that kli is called a muktza machmas chisaron kis. So for example, Rav Shlomo Zalman held that if you have any object that you're miyached, it's makom, for a purpose that doesn't have a purpose on Shabbos. So for example, autographed baseball. An autographed baseball is not muktzah, Reb Shlomo Zalman explained, because the autograph is worth a lot. What happens if your autograph was Mike Pagliarulo, the third baseman for the Yankees that they had high hopes for when I was a kid. But now the baseball's not worth very, very much. So is that any difference than a Mickey Mantle baseball? So Reb Shlomo Zalman didn't know the difference between the two, but he would say that it doesn't make a difference what the value of either is. He would say that the point is that since it has no purpose on Shabbos, dahainu, that even if we let our kids play ball on Shabbos, you wouldn't let them play with the autographed baseball. So then in such a case, doesn't matter whether it's a $1 million one or it's a dollar one. At the end of the day, it has a makom miyuchad, it's designated, and in such a case, it'll be called muktza machmas chisaron kis. And then Rabbi Shimon, in theory, could hold of that. But now we're stuck. If all this is correct, which it will be correct, but if all this is correct, so then the Gemara now asks, now let's go back into the Gemara, jump back from the autographed baseball back into the Gemara. The Gemara asks, but this doesn't add up with our Mishnah. It doesn't add up with our Mishnah, because if you're going to be machir on a mita shiichta mos, which wasn't originally designated for that, if you're going to be machmir for a baseball, which wasn't designated to be put in a particular place, but once it's been changed for a different purpose, it's going to be considered muktza, so then so too, we should say in regards to the ner should certainly be aser, because the ner was designated to be a lamp and nothing else on Shabbos. So Gemara says, you're right, we got to change our minds. Ela yitmar hachi yitmar. But rather, what we have to say is the following. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Mita Shiichta Lamos, Heiniach Lamos Asla Tautla. Once money was put on it, then the halach is you can't be metautla. Lo Heiniach Lamos Mutla Tautla. If money was not put on it, so then in such a case you'd be able to be metautla. So even if it was Mita Shiichta Lamos, the halach is that it's going to be asr only if money was put on. Lo yichta lamos, yesh lamos, asr l'taltal, ena lamos, mutar l'taltal, v'hu shelo ya ala ben ashmashas. So ena chanami, even if you put money on it once upon a time, it's not going to be asr unless the money was put on chol, and it stayed on during Bein Hashmashos as well. Okay, now, here, however, what happens if you had a mita that money had already been once put on? In other words, it's not the case that you had only, in theory, decided that you wanted to put money on it, but you never yet put money on it. What happens if money had already been put on it? So here, Tosus on the bottom of Mendalad on the Beis says an interesting chiddush. Tosus says, Upirish Rabbeinu Tam, two lines from the bottom, Da Hakol Modim Afilu Rabbi Shimon. When we say Hakol Modim, it means even according to Rabbi Shimon, that's a Gemara on Kuf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, Dekibon Dekapit Alel Miyachid LaMakom. And anything that you're miyachin makom in such a case, then the halacha would be that it's going to be aser. So the way to explain the shita of Rabbeinu Tam is that Rabbeinu Tam is paskening like what we had suggested from Tosas earlier, that a mita shiichta lamos is going to be considered muktza machmas chisaron kis. If he's saying that it's going to be muktza machmas chisaron kis, then he's saying that as long as it already once been used for its designated purpose, so then in such a case, if you're miyached its makom, it's going to be considered muktza machmas chisaron kis. Now, the Rama in Simin Shin Yud, Sif Katan, Sif Zayin, paskins that you're allowed to move letzarach gufo, letzarach mikomo. However, because at the end of the day, he says it's a regular din klishim lachto l'isser. However, the Magen Avram writes that the halacha is that it's going to be Aser, the Magen Avraham writes that it's Aser because a muktza machmas chisaron kis, and it's Aser to move it. And that was how Rav Nevin Sal, based on Rav Shlomo Zalman, paskened. Lamaisa, what comes out from our cheshbon of today's Gemara, comes out as follows. If there is an item that's electronic item, or an item that has absolutely no purpose on Shabbos and has a designated place, then in such a case, not only is it a klisha melachto l'isser, but it would also be muktza machmas chisaron kis because it has a makom miyuchad, and then in such a case, you would not be allowed to move it letzorech gufo o letzorech mikomo. So an example for that might be a phone. A phone that has no purpose on Shabbos itself. And the phone you always leave in a particular place to charge. So then in such a case, yesh ladun, whether a smartphone would be considered klisha melachto l'isser, and you'd be allowed to move it letzarach gufo letzarach mekomo, or say no, more than that. It's muktza machmas chisaron kis. It doesn't serve any other purpose on Shabbos. The other nafkamina we gave was the autographed baseball. Is an autographed baseball considered muktza machmas chisaron kis? It could be that once you're miyachin makom, even if you don't have the other cheshbonos of Rabbi Yehuda, we passing like Rabbi Shimon, it could very well be that one would be machmir. The case that's discussed in Shulchan Aruch itself, which is the machlokis between the Ramah and the Magen Avram in Simin Shin Yud Sif Zayin, I mentioned, he says, V'lachein, Asa letaltal kishal mos, afal pi shehotzi amos mimenu bidot mod yom. You're not allowed to move a kishal mos, even if you've taken the money out. And if you take a look, the Mishnah Berurah over here quotes the Shita of the Magen Avram that says that it's considered a muktza machmas chisaron kis. And he says, even though the Ramah seems to say it's going to be mutter, the halacha is that it's going to be asr. Dagaria Mishar Kili Shimalachtalisir says the Mishmar Sivkatan Khafe. Kiman Shiyhta Behedulaze, Mistama Miyachila Makom, Umakbit Shalolish Tamish Batashmish Acher. So the question is whether you'd be makbit not to use it for any type of tashmish. So it happens to be that I, with my cell phone, I'm dafka not that way. With my cell phone, I use my cell phone to underline my smartphone to underline as well. So I'm not makbit to miyachid it for a particular thing. So then in such a case, then it's not considered muktzeh machnas chisaron kis, that you only use it for a particular thing. But those items that are used only for something particular, it could very well be that Rabbi Shimon is going to be machmir on those things as well. And therefore, it's not only going to be a kli shemalach d'lisser, it's going to be muktzeh machnas chisaron kis, as we see from these two tosasin. Okay. B'siyata d'shmaya, let's continue on in the Gemara. Amarula. Masiv Rebbe Eliezer. Muchani. If a person has a wheel. Now this is a Mishnah in Meseches Kelim. In Perik Yud Ches in Meseches Kelim, we have a fascinating case. It's a contraption, basically a wagon, that there are many instances that the halachic instances that the Gemara tests against this wagon. And the Gemara says if you have a wagon, it describes it in two different ways. You have a wagon whose wheel is attached, and you have a wagon whose wheel is detached. So the Mishnah in Kalim says as follows. Muchani shela. If you have a wagon whose wheel is attached, so then it's one halacha. But bizman shehi nishmetes, if it's detached, ein chiburla, then it's not considered a chibur for tuma. So we're going to go through a few halachas of tuma as well as hilchos Shabbos when you have a wagon that's wheel is detached. What does it mean it's not a chibur? So Rashi says in Dibur HaMaskel, Eina chibur la, dechashuva hi kli la'atzma, it's considered, the wheel is considered separate, l'may nafkamina, continues Rashi in Dibur HaMaskel, Eina chibur la, dishida bas kibulei tumahu, kigon she'eina machzekes memsa belach, the nitma hasheda lo nitma hamuchani. The shida is the wagon. So the halacha is that if the wagon becomes tamei, when would a wagon become tamei? Rashi says as long as it's not large, that's 40 saw, then the wheel doesn't become tamei as well. Why? Because they're considered two separate things. If, however, the wheel was attached, so then in such a case, it's going to become tamei. So that's one halacha that we learn in Maseches Kelim. Another halacha: if it's not attached, ve'ein nimdedes ima, it's not measured with it. Now, we mentioned that something to be kabel tuma has to be a kli. If it's 40 saw, then it's not considered a kli. How do you measure the wagon? Do you include its wheels, or do you not include its wheels? So therefore, it depends on whether the wheel is attached or not. If the wheel is not attached, so then in such case, you don't measure the 40 saw. The Mishnah continues in Kalim, ve'ein matzeles ima bo'el ames. And the halacha is that it doesn't save with it in the Ohel HaMeis. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Ve'en matzel sima ba'ol HaMeis. De'masheda machzekes memsa. De'ena mekabels tuma. Matzeles ba'ol HaMeis v'ahave Ohel HaAtzma. It's considered a Ohel for other utensils. Once it's 40 saw, so then in such a case, it's considered a separate rishus, and anything else that's under it is considered in its own rishus. So even though there's a mace in the general ohel, since the muchani is already, the shida and the muchani are larger than 40 saw, and let's talk about a case where the shida is even 40 saw, then anything that's under the shida is not considered in a separate ohel. What about what is under the wheel? It depends. If it's attached, so then in such a case, then it would also protect, and then it would be part of the ohel. But if it's detached, so then in such a case, it's not matzelis. Ve'ein gorin osa b'shabbes bizman sheyesh lamos. We're interested in this halacha. The Gemara here quoted it because of this component, that you can't drag it on Shabbos when there is money on top of it. So here the halacha is explained, interestingly, by Tosos, not by Rashi. There's absolutely no Rashi on this. It's a Pella that there's no Rashi on this. Tosos basically does exactly what Rashi does over here, and he says that what we mean is as follows. When the wheel is separate, it's considered a separate kli. So then the halacha is, what do we say? then ain gornosa b'shabbos. Then you're not allowed to roll the wheel. Because if the money is sitting on a wheel, it's a funny situation, but you've got a wheel, and it has an area to hold money inside the wheel. Now the shaila is, am I allowed to move the wheel? So if the primary focus of the wheel is to hold the money, because it's not attached to the wagon, not fully attached to the wagon, so then the halacha is, I can move the wheel, and I if I'm moving the wheel, then in such a case, I'm primarily moving the money, if it's detached. If it's attached, so then when I'm moving the wheel, even though the wheel has money on top of it, the wheel is attached to this large wagon. So then it's not considered as if I'm being metaltal the money, it's considered if I'm being metaltal the wagon. That's what Tosa says. Mefarish ri, the kishin ishmetas who klidif ne'atzol, kishay ein ishmetas, if it's attached, mutter legara, you're allowed to move the wheel, afal pishesh lamos, dekivan she'enam al gabe sheda, shuhu ikra kli shari, since not on top of the shida, in such a case, it's going to be mutter. Ah, gishmak. So that's this halacha. Ha'ena le'amos, shari. Oh, but what's the kasha? Afal gav, da hava lo ben ashmashos. But wait a second. It was sitting on top of it, ben ashmashos. It was sitting on top of it on Bein HaShemashos, so then the problem should be the problem of Mita Sheyichta Lamos, that we learned that the halacha is that if it's Mita Sheyichta Lamos, the halacha is that everything becomes Aser. It becomes Aser, Tosa said, even according to Rebbe Shimon, but certainly according to Rebbe Yehuda, who holds a Muktzah, then in such a case, if there was a Niyach Lamos, we learned from Rav, five lines from the top, Asa letalta, the halacha is that you're not allowed to be metalta. So says the Gemara, you're right. Ahi Rebbe Shimon, he delesle muktza. This Mishnah in Kalim has to be going according to Rebbe Shimon that doesn't hold of muktza. That the halacha is that it's not that the entire contraption doesn't become atzer based on the stuff that's on top of it. The Rav, Rebbe Yehuda svirale, and Rav is following the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara continues, Mem and Aleph, Hachinam, Mistavra, Rav, Kiri Yehuda, Svirle, Dama Rav, because we saw another Chumra of Rav, that actually, we don't know, not everybody passes like Rabbi Shimon, there's some who pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Dama Rav, Minichin Ner al Gabi Dekel B'Shabbos, Ve'im Minichin Ner al Gabi Dekel B'Yomtiv. You're allowed to put a candle on top of a Dekel and to light it there. Let's take a look at Rashi, Al Gabi Dekel, the first line, Memhei, V'Yidolek Sham B'Shabbos, we don't have to be afraid that when it is extinguished, he'll take it from it. Why? So the shiloh over here is the shiloh of shimush b'mechuber. That in that is that you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. You're not allowed to hang something on a tree. Sometimes I've seen that people didn't know this halacha. You're not allowed to hang something on a tree on Shabbos. So here the shaila is, are you allowed to put this on top of the tree? So Rashi says, there's no problem over here. You're not using it. Why? Because the ner is going to be usher the entire day because it was usher ben ashmashos. So that's why you're allowed to put it on Shabbos. But on Yom Tov, since you're allowed to move around the candle, so then it's considered as if you're being meshamish b'ilan on Yom Tov. So on Shabbos you're allowed to. So the chumra of Muktza makes it that's not considered at all if you're being Mishamish on the Ilan. Because it's not considered Mishamish B'Ilan. You're not going to use the Ilan at all. Because the Ner was Muktza. Now, we're assuming the Ner is Muktza. Iyamit B'Shlema de Rav K'Rab Yehuda Svirlei. So if Rav is learning our K'Rab Yehuda, Hainu D'Shani Men Shabbos Li Yom Tov, then I understand the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. But if he holds like Rabbi Shimon, Mali Shabbos, Mali Yom Tov, we learned according to Rabbi Shimon, we start off today, and we learned that according to Rabbi Shimon, only when it's lit is it going to be Aser. But when it's extinguished, it's Mutter. And therefore, the halacha should be that you should be considered as if you're being Mishamish, B'Ilam B'Shabbos. Must be that Rav follows the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But the Mishnah that we had from Muchani, that's following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and Enochanami, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha would be that the Muchani would be Aser, because once it was Mita Sheyichta Lamos, the halacha was that even if the money came off, it's going to be Aser. But Rabbi Shimon is going to be more Mekel. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we learned that the halacha is that one would be Machmir once it was miyuchad for that particular purpose. And what did we add in terms of the halacha? We saw that the when it comes to muchani, there you're not miyachid makom. But if you have something that you're miyachid makom, then we pointed out that Rabbeinu Tam holds on the bottom of the Yamud, that then it will be considered muktza machmas chisar and kis. That's what we saw two lines from the bottom. Tom v'nishlam, daf mem dalid.
You say miyachid makom, let's say by the smartphone, is it literally though a single place or right, meaning